First to Land, written by Douglas Riemann and read by David Rintoul.
Chapter 1, Old and New. The Hampshire countryside gleamed dully after a heavy overnight mist. The big house, which dominated the Hawks Hill estate and outlying farm cottages, felt damp despite the fires in each room, which had been laid and lit long before dawn. From a window in his study, Major General Harry Blackwood gazed out at the grey clouds and frowned. November. At any other time, he'd have relished this month, with its first meeting of the local hunt, of which he was master, but he could not dispel his apprehension, which both worried and irritated him. In a few weeks, it was the birth not only of a new year, but also of a new century. The thought disturbed him more than he would ever admit to Deirdre, his wife, or anyone else. When 1899 closed, he knew his life would somehow lose its purpose. This might even be his last November. He swung away from the window and looked around the room with its dark panelled walls and cheerful log fire. The servants and visitors to Hawkshill always referred to this as the General's room. Indeed, it contained innumerable relics and mementos of his life and career in the Royal Marines. A portrait of his father hung on one wall, as he had lived, not as he had died here in this great house, stern-faced and proud in his scarlet coatee, one hand resting on his sword. Even the sword was mounted in a glass case. Pictures, weapons, fox masks, a bugle with a hole punched through it. It was not difficult to see the expression of horror on the boy's face as he had been cut down by a bullet, even when he was sounding the charge. Harry Blackwood was 67 years old, but in his immaculately cut frock coat he was as straight-backed and trim as the day he had won his majority in the corps he loved so dearly. But his features told a different story. There were deep crow's feet around his eyes, caused by staring at sun and sky in so many ships, so many campaigns in all parts of the globe. His hair and neatly clipped moustache were white, in marked contrast to his skin, which was like tooled leather. He crossed to the fire and lifted his coattails to benefit from the blaze. He had been born here in this house, which had been in the Blackwood family for four generations, and purchased originally by old Samuel Blackwood, the last of a long line of soldiers. After him, all the Blackwoods had been Royal Marines, although Harry had never been able to discover how the change had come about. The main house was a great rambling place, which had begun as a fortified Tudor farmhouse. Added to over the years, it spread in several directions with cellars and tiny attics, which had once delighted the Blackwood children like a magic castle. It even had a moat, although that was only half filled nowadays, a home for geese and swans. He heard his wife speaking with one of the maids beyond the door, and hoped she would not disturb him. A quiet, faded lady, it was difficult to recall her as the vibrant girl she had once been. She had given him three sons, all of whom were now in the corps. The youngest, Jonathan, had joined his first ship at Portsmouth just 2 weeks ago. Deirdre had been tearful about it, but had made no protest when her husband had insisted that his son should follow the family tradition. The General had many fixed ideas, one being that women in any kind of authority could not be tolerated. Even the Queen, whom he had served for the whole of his life, irritated him. Still on the throne after 61 years, it did not seem possible. With the British Empire spreading to encompass the whole world, you needed strong and decisive leadership, an example for those who had to defend it. He smiled grimly, the ears falling from his features as he did so. It was proclaimed that the sun never set on the Empire, nor would it while there were still Marines. The door opened slightly, but it was Briggs, once his trusted attendant and orderly, now his valet, his shadow. "Well, ma'am?" His voice was sharp. He was not looking forward to the next moments. The thought of them had spoilt the morning, and Deirdre might just be inclined to argue with him. "Young Mr. Blackwood is here, sir." Briggs eyed him warily. He knew all the General's moods, and had been at his side on blood-reddened decks with all hell breaking loose around them, in the desert and the jungle, wherever the Royal Marines had been called to action. "Give me a few minutes, Briggs." Briggs withdrew. He knew this mood. Keep a young officer waiting, even if he was one of the family. Make him sweat a while.